You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John this morning. John chapter 12. We got to finish John, man. We got to get through John. Because I want to get to 1 John. 1 John is one of my favorites. So we got to get through John. So Jesus has just come through Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He's healed Lazarus, brought him back from the dead, raised him from the dead, and the crowds begin to come around Jesus in an incredible way because they think Jesus has come as the Messiah to conquer Rome. Now, wouldn't that be beautiful if Jesus could come right now? Oh, yeah. And conquer our government and overthrow the evil that is happening in our nation right now. It's not over. It's right, it ain't over. But the thing was that when Jesus comes into town, Jesus comes in riding on a donkey. In fact, it's the baby donkey, cute little donkey, as a peacemaker. Was not what the Jewish people wanted. They wanted a guy to come in, the Messiah, to be the one on the war horse that walks into Jerusalem, goes into the temple, and tells the Roman government, "You're done. It's over. God is here, and He's going to take over, and He's going to rule, and He's going to reign." And they wanted another David. David was a mighty warrior. Powerful, passionate warrior. I mean, you could read through the story of David in all the Kings, 1st, 2nd Kings, and you will see a vicious man of war that would come in, and he was ruthless. So Jesus comes into David's kingdom, into Jerusalem. And this is what Jesus says. They're singing Hosanna to the high, in the highest. God save us now. But this is what Jesus says to them. Verse 31 of John chapter 12. "The time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Now this was a thing for the Jewish people because it was a disgrace for anyone, any Jewish person, to be hung on a cross. It was the worst thing that could possibly happen. It was a disgrace for someone to die on a cross. Well, the crowds don't like what Jesus had just said because he's saying, "I am going to die on a cross." The crowd responded, "We understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say that the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway?" Now, they were taking a part of Scripture and taking it out of context because they had believed that Messiah would live forever, which he does live forever. Spoiler alert. Didn't mean to mess the story up for you if you haven't gotten to the end. He does reign and rule forever like we sang this morning. That's our Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior. He rules and reigns for eternity. And He has been reigning and ruling for eternity. Well, they didn't like the idea that He said the Son of Man was going to die, be lifted up on the cross. They did not like that at all. And so they are offended. Well, Jesus does offend people, if you didn't know that. He divides people. He divides families. He divides households. In fact, he said, "I came because I'm bringing a division into the world." Because you will see, Jesus, there are people that are divided about Jesus all the time. They think Jesus is one way, the way they want Jesus to be. Their Jesus, their idea of Jesus. And then Jesus comes on the scenes and he does something completely different. Pulls the old switcheroo. That's what Jesus does. But this is what he says in verse 35. "My light will shine for you just a little longer." That means he's only going to be alive for just a little longer. For about a week. And he says, "Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of light." After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. these people that had unbelief. He was hidden from them. Now, this is the interesting thing. Jesus, why would he hide himself from them? So you got to understand something. We're going to finish reading that out in just a second, but we got to figure something out about me. It might surprise you to know that pastors think differently from normal people. No. Thank you, Joshua, for... Happy birthday, Josh. You know what? It's Josh Canero's birthday today. You know, Josh always hides in the sound booth, and he doesn't really like people giving him attention. But if you would today, just smack him on the back of the head and tell him happy birthday for me, and say, this is for Pastor Titus. So it would surprise you to think that pastors think differently than other people, and we're not normal. I don't consider myself a normal thinker, and maybe it's just me, but when I walk into Walmart or a grocery store, I look around and I wonder who in Walmart is, and I don't like Walmart, but I walk in sometimes. I walk in and I think, as people are walking by me and people are doing their thing, I wonder who I'm looking and walking past, who has the light of Christ in them and who does not? Who are unaware that God is around them, who is aware of it, and who is not? And you say, in Walmart, there's probably hardly anybody that has... Right, Megan? Right? There's hardly anybody in... Yeah. I wonder who's lost and who's a follower of Christ. And when Jesus was on earth, he had this ability to know, without any effort at all, who was. In fact, there was multiple times that Jesus would read the hearts of people in certain situations. Jesus, remember when the friends brought these guys brought their friend to Jesus, they tore the roof open of the house, let him down, and when they let him down, Jesus says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And the people in the room began to grumble. Oh, you can't. He's forgiving sins. And they began, their hearts became angry towards Jesus, and Jesus says, "I see your heart. I see your heart. I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking." So when I come in here when I'm preparing for a message on Sunday morning, when I'm thinking about the people that will be in the seats here on Sunday morning, I'm thinking about two different types of people: insiders and outsiders. Now you say that's pretty rough, Pastor, because shouldn't we all be insiders? Oh, absolutely, we should all be insiders. But you realize that there are some people that are outsiders that have come in. I think of them as like the Easter crowd, the Christmas crowd that come in on, like, you know, when we have like a big day or Mother's Day, when everybody feels guilty and they think they should come to church. That's when they come to church, those kind of days. And those are the people that would be kind of the outsiders that come in. This is Jesus right here in this moment. Jesus is speaking to the outsiders. He's speaking to the outsiders, saying to them, you better find the light while you still can find the light. Because the light's going out. So last week the message that I preached last week was, today is the day of salvation. It was for, and I was doing it specifically because God told me, this is today is the day of salvation. So you need to preach this message so that those that are on the outside that might be here on this day will be able to hear the message of the gospel, hear the message that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he rose again for them specifically. Those outsiders that need to, they might be the ones that I think of them sometimes as the ones who've been hurt by the church or by people in the church that have run from God because of hurt that has happened in their lives. The ones that have been damaged by the church, which shouldn't happen, but it does because we're a bunch of humans. That's just how it is. So the outsiders, those that I'm thinking about are those who have, maybe they're running from God, maybe they just have never made a commitment to Christ, but when I speak on Sunday mornings to the outsider crowd, I'm doing everything I can to wake them up to see that there is a God that's calling out to them that loves them, and they need to accept the light while the light is still shining, because it is going to go out. There's not much time left. And that's not me scaring people or trying to preach hellfire and brimstone. I remember, oh man, The old-timey preachers that would bang the pulpits and they'd rattle the windows and they would just go, your dad did it. Yeah, my dad did it when he would preach. That was the thing. Scare people to Jesus. Terrify them. And as a kid, I'd lay in bed every night. Terrified. Well, if Jesus comes back, I'm done for. These outsiders are, there's someone who would say that they're on the outside. They would confess that they are on the outside. But then there's the insiders, and I even preached to them last week too. I preached to the insiders, and I said, if there is sin in your life that is separating you from God, you better fix it. You better get right in that moment, because there's not much time left to get right with God, to accept salvation. And the insiders, they fall into two categories. They know the language of the church. That's the insiders. They know the language of the church. The insiders, they live, they come in into the church, they know how they should live, but they think that God is cool with them, cool with their sin, and they view God as an insurance policy. God is like their fire insurance, literally. You like that? He's there if they need Him. They don't want to go to hell. And, if I could be so bold, the whole picture of their Christian life is they are living to go to heaven. Now you say, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Shouldn't we want to go to heaven? Absolutely we should want to go to heaven, because that's where my Jesus is. My Jesus is in heaven. He's waiting. He's preparing a huge mansion for me. It's going to be awesome. And I might let some of you visit. But this insider crowd is, they're living to go to heaven. Rather than, and think about this, they're living to go to heaven rather than living so that heaven is on earth. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, what did He teach them? He said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So see, we live for the when I die, I go to heaven, instead of I'm living right now so that heaven is right here, Jesus is right here in this moment. That's how an insider person should live their lives. As if not heaven is a destination I get to someday, but that heaven is reality right now, right here. Now when Jesus comes, He comes and He says in John chapter 4, we did this a couple months back in John, Jesus said to this woman, this Samaritan woman, He said, I came first to the house of Israel. I came first to preach to the house of Israel. That's the insiders. Okay? I came first to preach to the house of Israel. You want to know why Jesus came to preach to the house of Israel? Because the house, inside the house, has got to get it right first before we tell the outsiders what they need to hear. I cannot point out somebody else's sin until I've dealt with my own sin. I got to look for the beam in my eye, the 2x4 sticking out of my face, before I look at the little piece of dust in my brother's or sister's eye. And so when Jesus comes first to the house of Israel, and He says, Israel, you need to clean it up. Make sure that you clean it up. Now, we have a cleaning gentleman that comes in and cleans for us every week. Does a good job. But every time I come in here, when he's cleaning, he's not cleaning with the lights off. Right, Matt? He doesn't come in here with the lights off, shades drawn, and start vacuuming and cleaning around, making sure. No. You know why? Because you miss the dirt in the dark. When Jesus says to them, He says, you have a little while and the light is here for a little while. So live as children of light. I want you to see something. It's real easy to be a light in a room full of lights. Isn't it? It's easy to be at church and praise the Lord, and we're singing songs. Amen, Pastor. Yeah, it's super easy to be a light in a room full of lights. When it gets difficult is when you have to be a light in the darkness. Right? Because you see, the darkness is trying to put that light out all the time. That's what darkness does. Darkness wants to overtake the light. And so when Jesus says, you only have a little while longer, so live in the light so that the things in your life can be exposed. Now, he also says in our scripture today, all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth that I have spoken. So the word that we are reading today, that is Jesus's, those words will be the condemning thing when Jesus comes again to judge. He did not come the first time to judge. He came the first time to save. Second time He's coming, it will be the judgment. But when Jesus came the first time, He says to them, I don't speak on my own authority. I am speaking what the Father tells me to say. He has commanded me to say and how to say it. And this command leads to eternal life. I want to point out one thing that Jesus says. In verse 35, He says, those who walk in darkness cannot see where they are going. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Do you want to know why the world hates the church and the message of Christ so much? Because they are living in darkness. What happens, I mean, when you're a kid and you go to stay at your friend's house, you know, for the night and, you know, have a sleepover or whatever, and you go to sleep in the dark. Okay, you kind of, you acclimate yourself to that room. But then when the morning time comes, the lights click on and all, everything's like, you wake up and it's like everything is, wait, I am not where I, this is not my room. I don't know where I am. And all of a sudden the light hits you, and what do? And you just don't know what to do with your face. Because that light, it hits you on a level that you were not expecting. You're not ready for that light. Oh, you put your head back under the pillow. It's like a shock to your system. Those who walk in darkness cannot see where they're going, because that light blinds them. Now, you want to know something? When you go out into the world and you deal with people that are living in darkness, and you're the light, you have the light in you, the light of Christ that's in you, your light as you go out into that dark place begins to expose the people and the darkness of other people. And when that happens, you notice that people will begin to shy away from you. They don't want to be around you, because the light that is in you begins to shine on the things that are dirty in them. The darkness, the dirt that's in them. I remember being in college. I was a rambunctious child. I know you don't believe that. In college, we would turn all the lights off in our dorm, and we would play hide and seek in the dark. I've broken through many of walls and doors playing those games, because I'm a hefty fella. But we would run. We would like run in the dark. And we would have like booby traps for people. We would just like, you know, we'd set up traps for people. Well, there was one where we had it on this big, massive punching bag on a dolly swing that we would swing out at people as they would try to run past us. Pitch black. I mean, you can't see anything. And I remember running down the hall, like just booking it down the hallway, trying to get from one end to the other, because we'd have like pellet guns that we'd shoot at each other in the dark. Totally safe. Totally safe. And I remember one time, one of my friends, and he slung this huge thing out at me, punching bag. I'm in the dark and I have no idea what this thing is, and it has just hit me in the face and almost blindsided me. And I'm in the dark. What am I doing? I'm swinging. I'm just going nuts on this thing. Well, I didn't know there was another guy behind it, and I clocked him in the face just because I was swinging. I was swinging in the dark. I didn't know what I was doing because I did not care, because something had just, about 150 pounds had just attacked me, and it was not taking me down. So I was fighting in the dark. You want to know why some people, they fight you so hard? When you begin to get into their life and as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, and you could become a child of the light, they're kind of like me fighting in the dark. They begin to swing. And they don't care what they hit. They don't care what they say. They don't care because they're fighting in the dark. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing because they're fighting in the dark. We watched last week, was Easter, and so we went home last Sunday night and we watched Passion of the Christ, because I think it's good to remind ourselves of what Jesus went through for us. And you know, honestly, a lot of people would claim that Pontius Pilate was an evil man. Was a wicked, wicked evil man. And he might have been. He might have been the worst. But as I'm sitting there watching the Passion of the Christ last Sunday night, and I'm looking at this character of Pilate, and every time I watch it, I try to see myself in a different character. Barabbas, Peter, Judas, Pontius Pilate, all these people. Even Mary, John the one that wrote this. There was something in my heart that started hurting for Pilate. This man who had grown up in a society that knew what crucifixion was for the people. And then he's been dumped, this man that comes before him. And the religious leaders are pressuring him so much, and even said, "You're not a true friend of Caesar if you don't crucify this man. We're going to go to Caesar and tell him what you have done, because you're causing a stir and a ruckus in this town, and we're going to take you to and you're going to be done." And I looked at Pilate and I thought, I can't be mad at Pilate. I can't be frustrated at Pilate, because this is a man who is fighting out of the dark. He doesn't understand who Jesus is. But even the little glimpse that Pilate gets of Jesus, and Jesus says to him about, "I'm truth." And in that moment, Pilate, you can see the look on his, the anguish on his face. He says, "What is truth?" He didn't realize the truth is staring him right in the face. Pilate is the guy swinging in the dark, trying to fight what he doesn't understand, what he can't see, fighting out of the darkness. Verse 36, Jesus says, "Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of light." After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. But despite all the miraculous signs that he had done, most of the people did not believe in him. Jesus can do incredible things and people will still walk away and not believe in who he is. Jesus can do incredible, incredible things, and he's done it for us how many times, and people still walk away not believing. This is exactly what Isaiah in verse 38 says that he prophesied and predicted. "Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?" But the people couldn't believe, for as Isaiah also said, "The Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them." This is where Isaiah was referring to Christ. For Jesus, as he is in his final days, he walks away from this group of outsiders. He's given them one last chance. Guys, you got one last chance. This is it. The light's going out. You got to take it while you can. And then Jesus leaves the crowds behind. For the rest of John, Jesus turns his attention away from the crowd and he begins to talk to the disciples, the inside crowd, the inner group. For the next couple weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at discipleship on our part as followers of Christ. Because in the next section, we're looking at Peter as one of those, his boldness to say, you know, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I can't wash you, then you don't have anything, you can't have anything to do with me. Light exposes darkness. Remember that when we're around people, our lives, they expose the darkness in other people. I'll say this, and I'll be honest and open. This week I had a moment where darkness crept out of me. I'll just be real, be honest. I saw my... You rarely ever do you get those moments where God puts a mirror in front of you to show you who you really are. And it was stupid. It was totally stupid. It was dumb. I'll admit it. I had one of those moments. And Andrea is over there smiling at me because she knows the moment. And it was one of those moments where God put a mirror up to me and said, this is not what the children of light should be. I mean, let's be honest. We have those moments, right? If you don't want to admit it, it's okay. I'll be the one to put it out there. Your pastor had a moment of darkness creep out of him, of selfishness, an attitude. And immediately, I knew it. The Lord convicted me of it in that moment, and I got angry because I saw something in myself that was not a child of light, it was a child of darkness. And a lot of times what we do is when we have those moments of darkness, those moments where the darkness kind of comes out of us or something unchristlike comes out of us, we tend to overlook it or ignore it, blow it off. Like, well, I've had a bad day, I've had a bad week, I've had one of those moments and it's okay. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And He said, that is not me. That is not me. That is darkness. And if you're supposed to be a child of light, then it should look different for you. Sometimes I wonder how many times I've done it, overlooked it, ignored it, blew it off, and I'm not the only one. Every single one of us in this room has those moments where the Holy Spirit, God kind of convicts us and points something to us. Now, you know what He does? We think sometimes God comes in with His massive spotlight and says, you are horrible, you are filthy, you are dirty, I can't believe you did that. No, that's Satan that does that. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Hey, bud. I love you. And I know you love me. And if you want to look like me, you can't have that in your life. Something's got to change. My question to you is, for those moments that you have, those moments of darkness in your life, those moments where Jesus isn't shining through like He should, the moments where Jesus is saying, hey, you're a child of light, what you should be living a child of light, not a child of darkness. This question needs to be the thing you ask yourself. Am I walking in the light? Is there darkness in my life? And this is a question you ask yourself right now. Am I living in the light? Am I a child of the light, or is there darkness that is in me? My challenge to you is this week, I always want to leave you with a challenge, something to do this week. Because I feel like somebody asked me last one of the pastors on our district, he said, "Hey, how did Easter Sunday go?" I said, "Oh, we had 5 baptized and it was a great Easter Sunday. God showed up. He was there." He said, "Well, was it successful?" Was it successful? What's that supposed to, I mean, Jesus was alive. I don't know what you're asking. He said, no, was it successful? And I said, we'll see next Sunday how many people come to church. How many people come to Christ. I'm not basing it off of one day. So, my challenge to you is this week is to ask God to expose any darkness in your life this week. Ask God. Now, I'm telling you, when you ask Him, you better be ready. Woo! You better hold on. Because when you ask Him something like that, God, exposed the darkness in me, you better be ready. Because He will. He will show you the things in your life that He doesn't like. Now, He's not going to shine the big spotlight, but He's going to make you feel in your heart this almost an urgency of, I got to get that out of me. I need to change that in me. My challenge to you this week is to ask God to expose any darkness in your life. And if He does, make it an effort to let the light shine on that spot, no matter how painful it might feel. Because I'm telling you, this week was one of those moments where I felt in the moment I knew what I had done and what I had said. God convicted me. And He said, that's not me. That is not me. I said, Lord, help me, please. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be me. I don't want my daughter to see it. I don't want my wife to see it. I don't want other people to see that in me. Because if I look like you, and that's what people think you look like, that's not my Jesus. My challenge to you this week is to ask God to expose the darkness in your life. And if He does, make at least one effort to change something this week in your life to push you towards being a child of the light. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the message of John that has helped us see in these last days of Jesus as He is preaching to this outside crowd to become children of light, not children of darkness. Lord, we ask that You would help us this week expose the darkness that is in us and help us to get rid of it. Help us to surrender ourselves to You completely, fully, in everything we do and say. I ask for those, Father, that are here this morning that are struggling to know whether they are in the will of God, or know that God is with them, or that they are in relationship with You. I ask, God, that You would help them to expose whatever it is, the sin in their life is separating for them from You, and help them to deal with it so that they become children of light and not children of darkness. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go be children of light this week in this dark, nasty, dirty world. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.